It's a real privilege and blessing for me to be able to come and preach to you tonight, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity. I thank Pastor Ogle for putting trust in. He's not heard me much. He doesn't know me a lot, so he's really out on a limb. I could say just about anything right now, I think, and of course, he'd probably call up the sound man. He'd say, cut that guy's microphone. No, I'm sure he's at home listening right now, so I'll try to behave myself. And well, let's open our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter number 11. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. We're actually going to read two different passages of Scripture, and we're going to do a comparison on two different men. Pastor has been preaching and teaching they're the first service that we're having on Sunday mornings, teaching on temptation and sin and how we can deal with that, how we can overcome that, and that's been really good and convicting at the same time. And then also on Wednesday evenings, we've had quite a bit of character, what would you say, character sketches of people in the Bible and the choices that they made. And so I kind of want to follow along these same lines tonight, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. 2 Samuel chapter number 11, we'll read verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to flip over to Genesis chapter number 39, and we're going to compare these two men, Joseph and David. So if you would also hold your place in Genesis 39, verse number 1, and just hold your place there, and then turn back to 2 Samuel chapter number 11, and we'll read the text, and then we'll try to just bring out some things dealing with these two men. So, everyone found their place? Okay, 2 Samuel chapter number 11. We'll start here in verse number 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. Now, if you will, turn with me back to Genesis chapter number 39. Genesis 39. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Aren't you glad of that verse right there? And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from time to time, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. By the way, that is King James for he had a nice frame, he was well built, and he was a good looking fellow. Okay? And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, now this is talking about Potiphar, his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now let's stop there and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We're so thankful that we have this opportunity and the freedom to be able to open your word. We thank you for the work that you have done in our hearts. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this church and how men's lives and families are being changed because you're the one that's doing the work. And Lord, help us to never put confidence in ourselves and in our flesh, but help us to remember that it's you that's doing the work. And Father, we ask now that you would bless the preaching of your word. Help me to focus, and Lord, just be with my mouth. Help me to speak as I ought to speak. And I pray that you would help us all to be attentive to your word. And Lord, use these things that you have shown me, help me to also grow, but use them to help us all. Lord, that we may bear fruit and bring glory to your name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I just want to look at these two men. And obviously, as we've read the text, I'm sure you're already familiar with this text and both of these men. And so we're not going to labor a lot in the stories, but I just want to do a comparison of these two men. And first of all, I want to look at the similarities between them. These two men had a lot of similarities in how God was using them. Both were men of faith. Both loved God. We can see that in Hebrews 11. God was using them both. Both had a very special calling, if you will. God was using them in a very special way. There was a special revelation that was given for each of them concerning them. Joseph, he didn't have the written word of God as we know it today. That didn't exist in his day, but he knew about his great-grandfather. He knew about the covenant that God made with Abraham and with his grandfather Isaac, with his father Jacob. He knew about these things, and so he had that revelation that he understood God's plan, and he also had the dreams that God had revealed to him personally there in Genesis 37. He knew about these things, and David also, we could pretty confidently say that David had the first eight books of the Bible. We know that he had the Pentateuch. We know that he had the first five books, but likely Samuel wrote Judges. Joshua, we believe, wrote Joshua, and then Samuel wrote Judges and Ruth. That is a common opinion. I'm not a scholar, but likely he had quite a bit of this scripture, and possibly even 1 Samuel by this time. And so he had the prophet Nathan, he had the prophet Gad, and of course we know that Samuel's prophecy and in David's life, how David was anointed as a young man. He was anointed by Samuel the prophet, and this was a prophecy, if you will, that he was going to be king over Israel. That was not realized until years later. If you remember, Saul chased him for many years and tried to kill him, and he had to run away from King Saul. And then later on, 1 Corinthians 11:3, the Bible says that they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord of Samuel. And so that prophecy went on before him. And both of these men, the Holy Spirit came upon them at a young age. Joseph, in Genesis 39, we read how the Lord was with him. It says that again later on in verse number 21, that the Lord was with him. God's Spirit was upon Joseph, and they didn't have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but God's Spirit did come upon his servants in this day. That was a very special thing. That was not that was an unusual thing, okay? And so later on, even Pharaoh gives testimony about, can we find such a one as this, speaking about Joseph, a man in whom the Spirit of God is. And so even Pharaoh gave testimony to that. David, at his first anointing, the Bible says that then Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And if you remember, the Spirit of the Lord departed from King Saul, and an evil spirit troubled him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. So that was a different time in the Old Testament than we have today. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit permanently indwells the believers. Amen. And so God was using them in a special way. Both were types of Christ. Both of these men, they were treated ill by their brethren. Joseph's brethren envied and hated him. They were David's brethren despised him. And we know that Jesus was rejected and despised. So they were a type of Christ. They were subjected to suffering. Joseph inflicted by his brothers, and David inflicted by King Saul. And Jesus, of course, was despised and rejected of men, the Bible says. And he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. These two men were exalted by God to positions of high honor. And Joseph was second in command under Pharaoh. And David, we know, was the king of Israel. And Jesus, we know, is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. He has given a name above all names. And so God wrought deliverance for God's people through these two men. And so in that way, they were also a type of Christ. And so we see that God used them in a special way. Both of these men were men of faith. Both of them loved God. Both of them were obeying God, serving the Lord. Both of them had the Holy Spirit of God upon them. Both were called and used in a special way. And we can see that both of them had special privileges and blessings. But when it came to the crossroads of the scriptures we just read, these two men made very different decisions, didn't they? They chose different paths. And so I want to look at tonight very briefly at something. I'm trying to rush to the end because of something that the Lord had shown to me that I'm kind of dumb, by the way. So God has to, God, I come by slow freight, you know. I don't pick up on things very well. So the Lord showed me this, and probably you already know this. So these decisions that these two men, they greatly affected the lives of these men. They greatly affected their families. They affected the rest of their lives, didn't it? It affected the course of the nation of Israel. And of course, we know that God understood that. God knew the decisions that they were going to make. Both men were faced with temptation. They were both given opportunity to sin. Joseph was a slave, and he came out on the other side of that with a heart of integrity. And David was a king, and he gave in to the temptation. He tried to cover up his sin, and he just spiraled out of control, didn't he? I thank God for sending the prophet Nathan, amen, showing mercy on his servant David. And David was quick to repent. Of course, we know that. And so the Bible is just as relevant for us today. As we study these lives, these two men, we can certainly identify with some of the things that they were dealing with. And we can certainly learn from these things. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. 1 Corinthians 10:11-12. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition. Our admonition. That these things that happened in the Old Testament are for our admonition. So what admonition can we learn from these choices that these men made in these two chapters that we just read from? The Bible reveals for us very plainly that there were choices made, and they were made beforehand. You know, it's interesting how, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one like this, but how sometimes we're just traveling through life, and then it's like we just fall off the precipice. You ever done that? Things seem to be going well, and then all of a sudden you just fall off and you do something stupid. And you think, why did that happen? Why did I get so angry at that guy that cut me off? Or why did I have cocked such an attitude against that person? Or why did I get so bent out of shape because I didn't get my way there? Or why did I give into that temptation? Follow after that lust? And the truth of the matter is, we're not supposed to be on that precipice, are we? And we're supposed to be, if we're following God, if we're staying close to the Lord, we're supposed to be back here, right? And we're not supposed to be on the edge. But the problem is, we make decisions that lead us closer to or take us farther away from where, you know, from falling into that temptation, falling into that sin. And so when I was younger, I would fall over and over again into the same sin. And I had to realize that the reason why I continually fell into that same sin was because I was standing on the edge. I wasn't where I was supposed to be. I was making decisions that was putting me in a danger zone. And so when Satan tempted me, it was really nothing for him to cause me to fall into that temptation. And if you're here tonight and you're dealing with the same thing, well, that's good news. We can take admonition from God's word. There were three choices that David made which led to his fall. Actually, more than that, but we're going to look at three. And I hope to be look at these briefly. Number one, idleness. Chapter number 11, verse number 1. The time when kings go forth to battle. Where was David? They was hanging out at the palace. Now, we're not talking about pastor going on vacation, all right? So, pastor, I know you're watching. Now, we're not going to talk about that. Pastor needs to go on vacation. We all want pastor to go on vacation, right? That's good for everyone. He needs rest, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with taking that leisure, taking that time. But you can never. You need physical rest. You need even to get mental and emotional rest, and just to be able to unplug in those areas, so that you can just breathe, and so that you can recharge your batteries. But guess what? It's for your spiritual edification. It's for spiritually refreshing yourself. You should never unplug spiritually. You should never. And when there's a battle that's going on, guess where God wants you to be? God wants you to be in the battle where you belong. David was lazing around on his bed in the afternoon when his men were in a military conflict. You see, that's not where he belonged. And that idleness was a choice that he had made. Now, when you read previous time, we shouldn't be hard on David, because we do the same things, by the way. We do the same thing. We do something for God and we think, "Why, I deserve a rest." We finish vacation Bible school and we still have our sanity and we think, "Oh, we deserve a rest." Right? Well, yes, we should take rest. We don't deserve it. Well, we should take it for our own good. But never, never spiritually unplugging, right? Never this laying down our armor, spiritually speaking. And that's what David had done. We see that in verse number 1 there, and then verse 1 and 2 rather. And so when this temptation came, the problem was he wasn't where he was supposed to be. Joab even later exhorted him. If you look with me in chapter number 12 and verse 26, Joab's the captain of his army, and he said basically to David, he's, "Look, I've taken the city. I've already taken the royal city." He said, "I've fought against it and I've taken it. Now, therefore," verse 28, "gather the rest of the people together, encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name." He's like, he's in a way, in a roundabout way, he's saying, "David, you should have been here. You are supposed to be here. Now get here. Because the honor doesn't go to me. The honor should go to the king." And David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah and fought against it and took it. Joab already took it. You ever come in behind somebody that's already done the job? You ever done that before? You're like, "Whew, glad that's over with." And you feel like, "I didn't do anything." I'm sure that's the way David felt. Number two, inquiring. That was another choice that David made. He inquired, the Bible says, in chapter 11, verse number 3, David sent and inquired after the woman. I've told my children this from the time their age. I've told them, if you go looking for trouble, guess what's going to happen? You're going to find it. You're going to find it. If you go looking for trouble, you're going to find it. And even the Apostle Paul tells us that we should be in that which is good, we should be wise, but in that which is evil, we should be simple. In other words, don't go trying to explore and trying to figure it out, because guess what? You're going to end up in a heap of problems. You're going to end up in temptation. You're going to end up in sin. He says to the Romans, Romans 13, 14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." How often do I do that? How often do we do that? make provision for the flesh. And that's what David was doing. And then number three, David, we see his involvement, the decision to get involved here. 2 Samuel 11, verse number 4, and David sent messengers and took her. Why did David sin and Joseph did not? Because at this moment, David treated God's boundaries with little regard. And that's what I want to get at. You see, David was idle. When you look at the story of Joseph, you find out Joseph was doing his work. He was doing the work that God had blessed him with, the work that his master had given him. He stayed busy with that work. He didn't allow for time of distraction. And you see Joseph in Genesis 39, he didn't go looking for trouble. Now, this Potiphar's wife was just throwing herself on him in a natural sense. Nothing would have been more tempting than I'm sure Potiphar's wife, by the way, wasn't an ugly woman, okay? He was the captain of the guard. She was probably a very fine-looking woman, and she was a very wicked woman in her behavior. And so he didn't go looking. As a matter of fact, when she would day by day tempt him, what did the Bible say he did? He would not consent unto her. He didn't, not to lie by her or to even be around her. He avoided her. And so he was making decisions that was not putting him closer to that precipice, but was taking him farther away. And then David's involvement when he sent and took her, that's what I want to look at. So Joseph treated this as a big deal, and David did not. And that's what the Lord convicted my heart with here recently. David became completely self-absorbed. I tell you what, Americans have, we have become so self-absorbed, haven't we? It's scary. He was no longer thinking rationally. His flesh, Pastor talked about that flesh, our flesh becoming like a ravening wolf. That's the way David had become. Now I want you to look. This is something I found very interesting. I want you to look at Nathan came in chapter number 12, 2 Samuel 12. So let's turn there. Nathan came and told David this parable. You remember the parable? Raise your hand if you remember the parable. Okay, you're still awake. That's good. You remember the parable. The rich man with exceeding many sheep and cattle. Some visitor comes, a guest comes by. There's this poor man. He's got one little ewe lamb. He loves that little ewe lamb like a daughter. I mean, Nathan was just laying it on thick. And just pulling on the heartstrings, wasn't he? And that rich man had no regard for his neighbor, had no regard for the affection that his neighbor had for this little ewe lamb, had no regard for the blessings that he had, the riches that he had. He went and he took that little ewe lamb and he killed it and prepared it for his guest. Boy, David went through the roof, didn't he? And what did he say? How did he condemn this man? He says, I tell you, that man is a dead man. That's what he said. Look with me in chapter number 12, in verse number 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. Against himself, wasn't he? He didn't know it yet. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. Now, that's not in the law. Man who kills a lamb didn't die for killing a lamb. David was as it says, greatly kindled here. And then he gave what the law does say, he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, because he had no pity. And so David's first condemnation was he's a dead man. Well, aren't you glad God doesn't listen to us? I want you to look, and I hope you're still holding your place in Genesis 39 because we're going to turn there. I want you to look at what Nathan gives him the word of the Lord, okay? This isn't Nathan's words anymore. This is God's words. Now, I want you to pay close attention to what God says to David. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." God is speaking. "I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives," speaking about King Saul, by the way, "into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little," now this is God speaking, "if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." David, if you had just asked, if you had just asked me. Now, look what he says in verse number 9. There's two words that appear in these verses twice. God says them twice. Now, when God says something once, it's more important than man ever says, right? But when he says something twice, that's noteworthy. Definitely noteworthy. We need to understand that. In verse number 9, he says, "Wherefore hast thou despised?" See that? "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." David, you did this in my sight. You did it in my face. And he's saying, why? Why would you do that? Why did you despise my commandment and take, that's the other word, you have taken what is not yours. Now look at verse number 9, or verse 10 rather. "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast," here it is again, "despised," but then he says, "me." David, you despised my commandment, and you despised me. And he says again, "and has taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be that wife." And so these two words, despise and take. I did a study on the word despise. Do you know what the word despise means here? It means to disesteem. Disesteem, or to value very low or nothing. That's what it means. To put a low or zero value on. And what God was telling David was, you put a low and or a zero value on my commandments, and you put a low or a zero value upon me. Whew. Wow. The same word despise is used when Esau despised his birthright for a pot of soup. You remember that? What was that birthright? What was the significance? It had eternal consequences. He despised it. It's a word of comparison. He looked at the soup. He considered his birthright. And he said, you know what? I really don't care. I want the soup. It's a comparison. Eli despised the proper use of God's sacrifice, and he honored his sons above God, the Bible says, 1 Samuel 2:29 and 30. Goliath, when he turned and he looked and saw David, he despised him because he was a ruddy youth. He despised him because he looked at this young boy out here that they sent to fight him, and he knew that he was not a mighty man of valor, and he wanted a mighty man of valor. And he despised him. He made very little of him. God sent Israel messengers in 2 Corinthians 36:16. God sent them early, talking about the prophets. And Israel despised them, the Bible says, until there was no remedy. God had to judge them. And then later, their long-awaited Messiah, Isaiah 53:3, they despised me. Why? Because they thought their way was better. Right? David said, or God said to David, "Why, David, why did you despise me? Why did you count me as so little after all I've done for you?" You know, that's the root right there. We talk about getting down the decisions that David made. There were reasons why he made those decisions. The decisions that you and I make when we sin, when we choose to sin. Everybody on board with that? If you're saved by the grace of God, you choose to sin. You don't have to sin. You choose to sin. It's because of decisions that we make. Those decisions have an underlying motivation. There's a root there. And what's that root? Pride is that root. Pride says, I look at what God has offered me and I look at what I can get for myself and I choose what I can get for myself. And I put a low value on what God has given to me. That's why we sin. And that's exactly what David did. Just like the rich man in Nathan's parable, he not only esteemed lightly God's commandments, but the favor of God, the goodness of God, the blessings of God. When you go and you look at Joseph's words, and we're finished. I know that I'm running late. Joseph's words in Genesis 39, verse number... verse number 8, but he refused. Now, how and why did he refuse? Because he did not despise his God. He did not despise the fact that God was with him. He did not despise or value the blessings and the favor of God less than this wicked woman that he could have gotten a little bit of pleasure from. He didn't despise his God. Look what it says. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not." Now he's talking about his master, his earthly master. "My master doesn't know what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife." And this is the key phrase right here. "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against my master?" Is that what he said? No, he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God?" Sin against God. He was attributing all of the success and all of the fortunes and all the blessings that he has experienced in this house, he was attributing and connecting it all to God. Everything that came from his master's hand came from God. And he said, "How could I sin against him? I want his favor. I want his blessings. And I value him much more than you." That is how Joseph was successful or was victorious over temptation. Father, we thank you for your blessings on us. Help us, Lord, to be more determined. Help us to purpose in our hearts like Daniel did. And Father, I pray that you would help us to put a greater value on the things of God, on the favor of God. Help us to put a greater value on you than we do on the things of this life, and the things of this world. Lord, help us, because our flesh is pulling us in a different direction. We thank you for your Spirit that enables us and gives us grace. And we have no excuse, Lord. We have everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. Help us to learn how to use the tools, the weapons that you've given us to have victory in this life, to be a testimony to glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.